Hello, my name is Dorothy Friedlander, and I'm the Vice President for Risk and Compliance Programs at the American Bankers Association. The name of this podcast is It's Time to Focus on Process Improvement. It is my pleasure to welcome Ellen Rose, Senior Director with Compliance, who is here today to talk about process improvement and how essential it is to the compliance function. So Ellen, welcome, and thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Dorothy. It's so nice to be here with you. And thank you for inviting me to speak about one of my greatest passions. And it has been in my 40 plus years of working with financial institutions. So thanks again for inviting me.
Well, I can't wait to dig in. I have a few questions that I thought would get to the heart of process improvement. Now I hear it's your passion. So let's get to it. So first of all, you know, why is it more important than ever to focus on processing and improving processes?
Yeah, thank you for that question. It's always important. I don't want anybody to get that wrong. It's always important to continually looking at your processes and improving. But in this day and age, with a lot of the technological advances that we have available to us, process has to go with the technology. I often see companies that will buy a piece of technology and the first thing they want to do is customize it to replicate a process that may have been broken. So if they go hand in hand. So I think it's very important to remember that. There's also, you know, an impetus, as there always is, when rates go up, rates go down, when you have consolidation, we're seeing some M&A movement in the market today. But there's always a focus on cutting costs, and improving your processes is cutting costs. There's also what we've seen in the marketplace is a very intense focus on the customer experience. So how do you make that customer experience a good one and such that a customer wants to stay with you as a company? And that is through improving your processes, because we're all consumers, right? We like nothing better when there's a smooth process that we're presented for whatever we're looking to have done or a service that we're looking for. Not lastly, but not leastly, there is obviously some change in administration, and there's going to be an increased focus on regulatory compliance. And that really goes to the heart of, you know, everyone in the financial institutions out there. Regulatory scrutiny requires that you scrutinize your own processes and controls to make sure that your processes are in place to control your compliance with regulations and improve the process to strengthen your controls. Again, hand in hand. Obviously, with complying, you're going to want to have documentation for examiners, all the data and information. And again, the better processes your process is, the better you're able to explain to regulators what it is that you do, how you do it, and how you do it to make sure that you are in compliance.
Ellen, that's really fascinating. I was thinking about what it takes to get started, and I wanted you to kind of address that, but also if there's any differences between getting started between small, medium, and large institutions. I think that would be very interesting to hear.
Right. It's easy to get started. Sometimes some folks start with a big bite of the apple and say, okay, I want to map all of my processes in, let's just say, mortgage originations. Okay. And they go end to end. But you don't have to do that. Folks who are addressing errors, they have remediations, they have issues, can address the process that plays into how they're fixing whatever error occurred, how they're remediating corrective actions for regulators. So you can start small and expand from there, or you can start big. One of the things that we often say to executives that move, you know, we all sometimes get fluid in our career, right? And a new executive coming into a company, one of the first things we suggest is look at the process maps that exist to get a feel for your organization, to get a feel for how all of the movement happens within the organization. And, you know, we've been asked a few times by executives, well, they don't have process maps. Can you come in and do them? And when we do process mapping, we identify controls or the lack thereof, right? And we identify what the strength in those controls. We align them to regulatory compliance. It's all in the processing. So you ask how to get started. Again, small or big, it doesn't really matter. You need a tool. And back in the day when I was doing this manually, right, post-it notes were a great tool. Sit in a room and everybody talks about the process and post-it notes step-by-step how the process is done. But you can go to Visio, Microsoft Office, PowerPoint, all of the Microsoft tools out there will help, but you can go to collaborative tools that are out there, to my first point about technology. There are collaborative tools where an entire organization can participate in identifying and mapping their processes. And in the BlueWorks, Signavio, there's a number of tools out there. But any way you have it, it's really taking and breaking it down, the process, into steps. That's the key there. Sometimes that's harder for some than others, because what you often get with practitioners, right, is, well, it depends. So you go the happy path. Okay, if everything ran smoothly, you were doing your process, how would it work? Okay, then you address some of the obstacles or the it depends that plays into it. You can start at a high level. You know, I can map a mortgage life cycle in about 12 steps from beginning to end. And then you take each of those process steps and you do sub-processes. Well, how do you process a payment, right? Or how do you foreclose on a loan? So you can go deeper and deeper. Again, as long as you're getting started and getting the discussions going. One thing that process map isn't, it's not a static document. It should always be a living, breathing document that's updated, that's used to focus on improvement, right? We typically do three phases when we map. Okay, the first phase is on a management level. How does management think the opening a bank account works? How do they think that process works? Okay. Then we go a little bit deeper, right? So we go to the supervisory level, the lead level, if you will. Okay, how do they think it works? It should not be so surprising that sometimes management thinks it works one way and a supervisor early thinks it works quite differently. Then we go to that third level and we actually work with the practitioner. We call it shadowing. We'll sit behind somebody who's working through a process and we will watch what they do. And again, not so surprising, you know, we'll see that random spreadsheet that they pulled out that nobody knew about that they were doing a calculation on in the process. So it's that kind of level you can do. It could be overwhelming if you feel you have to do it all at once. But the best way to start, I think, is to start at a high level and work your way down, or to address specific issues that you need to address for regulatory compliance or for operational breakdowns, and map those processes to make sure you understand how they work and how you can improve them. And oftentimes what you'll see is you'll see rework, you'll see wait time, you'll see overlap of processes. I think we see that sometimes in answering regulatory compliance issues, that all of a sudden a number of processes are created and they're almost redundant. So you can see that when you map and you can look for opportunities to streamline.
Ellen, I could just go on for like an hour or more with you. This is just fascinating. So why don't we do this? Why don't we think about the three key points, takeaways that you would like everyone listening to take away from this conversation, and then we can maybe wind up.
Sure. Thank you, Dorothy. Well, first of all, process improvement is not just about doing it faster. It's not about reducing staff, which some people think. It's about gaining efficiencies, possibly reducing the cycle time. So how long does it take to make that mortgage? Let's say it's a 60-day turnaround. Well, what's causing it to be 60 days? You can do that as you map, because one of the things that you can do while you're mapping too is do some pretty straightforward time studies. Okay, how long is it taking you to underwrite a file? How long is it taking you to prepare closing documents, etc.? So process improvement is not just about doing it faster, but it's about doing it smarter, right? So get to the heart. If we're talking customer experience, how to make that customer experience better, and let your agents or your processors, who's ever doing the work, actually do it better and smarter than just do work that is perhaps redundant. The second one I would say is assessing processes is the key to building a better customer experience. And I think I've probably said it a few times on this call, is that it does allow, the more efficient your processes are, it allows your associates to spend time with the customer, not on the process. The process will also, by improving it to match your technology, take great advantage and allow the associate that, you know, maybe at the tip of their fingers, they're able to see something about that customer that will help them serve that customer better. And then thirdly, a successful integration. I mentioned earlier that we're seeing a lot of M&A activity. So merging companies is really dependent upon process assessments, right? So you have two banks that probably have very different processes, even though they are doing the same things. So whose is better? The easiest and best way to do that is to assess each and figure out perhaps neither one has it right and get to that future state, which will be a better process. So divergent processes we've also seen can cause inconsistencies with customers when you merge, right? Inconsistencies with your associates, inconsistencies with your regulators. So it could lead to regulatory issues, and certainly divergent processes may not make a good customer experience.
Well, Ellen, like I said, I could just listen to this and talk with you for a long time, but why don't we end with a thought about, first of all, if people want to hear more, how can they get a hold of you?
Oh, thank you, Dorothy. So I'm Ellen Rose. I'm the senior director at Treliant. My email address is erose@treliant.com, and that's T-R-E-L-I-A-N-T. My telephone number is 202-774-6695, and I welcome calls if you have a passion like I do about process and you see that in your future, we'd love to talk to you.
Well, and I hope they do. Ellen, it's so nice of you to take time to talk with me today about process improvement. I learned a lot. I know our attendees learned a lot. And I thank you so much for participating in the ABA Regulatory Compliance Conference. And I hope everybody has a great day today.
Thank you, Dorothy. Bye.